That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Purport. There are two classes of men, namely the devotee and the demon. The Lord selected Arjuna as the recipient of this great science, owing to his being a devotee of the Lord. But for the demon, it is not possible to understand this great mysterious science. There are a number of editions of this great book of knowledge. Some of them have commentaries by the devotees, and some of them have commentaries by the demons. Commentation by the devotees is real, whereas that of the demons is useless. Arjuna accepts Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and any commentary on the Gita following in the footsteps of Arjuna is real devotional service to the cause of this great science. The demoniac, however, do not accept Lord Krishna as he is. Instead, they concoct something about Krishna and mislead general readers from the path of Krishna's instructions. Here is a warning about such misleading paths. One should try to follow the disciplic succession from Arjuna and thus be benefited by this great science of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Sa evayang maya tedya yogav proktav puratanah bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyang hiyatad utamam. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjala shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Vandeham shri guru shri yatav padakamalam shri guru navaishnavaanscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatham vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna taitandavimam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shivashakandvitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that there are a number of editions of this great book of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Many have been produced in the past, both by devotees and by non-devotees, as Prabhupada points out. Those by the devotees, they are very valuable for human society, and those by non-devotees are very detrimental to human society. So there have been many in the past, and we have Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, in which Srila Prabhupada, following the commentaries of the previous acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada follows Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his commentary. And Prabhupada, with his own realizations of that expressed in English, as according to the order of his spiritual master to present Krishna consciousness in English, has presented this Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is accepted, at least within ISKCON, as the definitive edition of Bhagavad Gita. And as Srila Prabhupada said, my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So this Bhagavad Gita as it is should be read, studied, accepted, distributed for quite a long time yet. Although Harishori Prabhu, I remember, as he was suggesting that, now, if you know Harishori Prabhu at all, you know he's very orthodox in his quoting of he's quoting of Prabhupada. He's always quoting Prabhupada. His lectures, and even if you talk with him, he's always just saying, well, Prabhupada said this, and Prabhupada, what he personally heard from Prabhupada. So I remember once in class in Vrindavan, this question came up, that, maybe the Bhagavad Gita as it is will need to be rewritten at some point in future, because the English language is changing. And if you see Shakespeare's English, which was, 500 years ago, something like that, it's not understandable. If you see the original, it's not understandable. And if you go back even further to Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, that's the first, no, it's probably not the first, but one of the earliest extant English works that goes back, how long, any idea, 800 years, 900, quite a long way. Anyway, it's just, it's not understandable unless you learn that old English. I remember we wasted time in school going through that, but in modernized English, otherwise you can't understand it. So the English language is always changing. So Harishwari Prabhu was suggesting that it will be necessary to rewrite Bhagavad Gita. This question came up, as it is, to write all of Prabhupada's books as the language changes. Otherwise people won't be able to understand it. So unless, like, you know, just like in for learning the Quran, they teach people Quranic Arabic, which is, no one speaks that anymore. It's different from modern Arabic, but they learn that to read the Quran. And of course, some people, they learn Sanskrit to read the Shastras. But Sanskrit isn't a dead language and it isn't a changed language, so that's a little different. The same Sanskrit, more or less. There's talk of Vedic Sanskrit and later Sanskrit and this and that, but it's more or less the same language. As it was, as it is. So this question, I chose to speak on this verse today because a few weeks ago, by email, a question came up that one devotee, quite new in devotional service, had written that one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who is a professor in America, he told me that he's going to write an edition of Bhagavad Gita with his commentary. And he felt bewildered by this. He was asking the question, is this all right? And he seemed to think that it's not all right. There's something wrong there. I suppose the idea is that, well, Prabhupada's given his Bhagavad Gita, then what do we need any other one for? And it seems to be like the idea is that the devotee who is going to write a commentary, what is he? Who does he think he is? He's writing something, he's doing better than his guru, or he thinks he can write it better. That seems to be the presumption here. Although it doesn't have to be taken like that. As Prabhupada said, there are many commentaries, and presumably the Bhagavad Gita as it is won't be the last bona fide commentary in the history of the human race or in this Kali Yuga. Prabhupada himself said that once he was asked, I'm not sure if this is in the folio, but maybe it's in TKG's diary or somewhere. Prabhupada was asked that, well, what will you translate when you finish the Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada said, well, maybe I'll do Bhagavad Gita. He said, well, Prabhupada, you already did Bhagavad Gita. He said, well, we can do some more. There's Ramanuja's comment. You remember reading that? Surrender unto me. He said there's... he's justifying why he's doing that book, Surrender Unto Me. So there could be... We could translate Ramanuja's commentary, Madhva's commentary. There are so many bona fide commentaries. So we could... Vishwanath's commentary. So Prabhupada wasn't against there being more commentaries on Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he also said that my disciples will write purports on my purports. So it's not necessarily that, it could be that someone's thinking, now I'm going to write a better commentary than Prabhupada. I'm going to show everyone I'm better. There is actually someone who did that. One disciple of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers brought out an edition of Srimad Bhagavatam in English, and in the preface he wrote that, well, why? What is the need of another edition when there's already one very well-known one with very gorgeously, very nicely printed and this and that, and then he wrote why, because actually he didn't mention the name of Prabhupada. He was saying actually that commentary is not very good, and mine, this one's going to be better. Although he doesn't know English well enough to write it. I mean, it's his English is, even from the point of view of the English language, his writing is terrible, and it's hardly understandable. And definitely his commentary is. I mean, if you'd even want to look at such a person, anyone with such an attitude. But his commentary certainly doesn't surpass Prabhupada, and has had no influence on the spiritual life of the world whatsoever. Jashimati Nandrang Prabhu told me he met him once, I think it was just last year, and he said to him directly, that how can you say like that? How can you write like that? And he said, well, he told him directly, this is Vaishnava Aparad, which it is. So is our godbrother in America, the professor, is he a guru aparadhi? Maybe, if he's thinking that my edition of Bhagavad Gita will, after this comes out, everyone will throw away their copies of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and I will show I'm better. If he's thinking like that, then Chitragupta's got a lot of work to do. You know, Chitragupta, he writes all the sins, and then when you go to Yamaloka, then on the basis of your of that FIR, then you get your punishment from Yamaraj. However, I don't think we should presume that he's doing it like that. I mean, he's a disciple of Prabhupada. He's been around for more than 30 years. I never heard to date that he's a great Guru Aparadi. I mean, I know, I'm pretty sure who it is. There aren't hundreds of Prabhupada's disciples who are professors. It's Garuda Prabhu, presumably, who I haven't seen for, you know, maybe 30 years or something. I don't think I ever spoke to him. But he's a disciple of Prabhupada who's been teaching in the university for somewhere near Philadelphia or something for many years. So it's not necessarily that he's thinking that, well, this is going to usurp that, but then there may be grounds for producing more editions of Bhagavad Gita. And actually there are already 6 editions of Bhagavad Gita by Prabhupada's disciples in English, and maybe in other languages, I don't know. And it's not that Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita has become defunct or any such thing, but they all serve particular purposes which presumably they want to amplify the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, or examine it from a different angle, or present it from a different angle. One of the editions is Bhagavad Gita for Children by Vishakha Devi, and she's got illustrations. I don't think you'd need that in India, because in India, by the culture, you can just start teaching children shlokas and they pick it up right away. And until recently, it wasn't uncommon that children could recite all the Gita and they could explain it. It wasn't such an uncommon thing. But in the West, to get anyone to take interest in Bhagavad Gita is not such an easy thing. So she made it. I didn't read it, but I saw it. It's with many illustrations and trying to attract the interest of children from a young age, giving them a basic idea of what Bhagavad Gita is about. So that's quite a good idea, isn't it? I mean, you can't expect the average child to pick up Bhagavad Gita as it is and start to understand it. So it's an introduction. I saw recently in Udupi, the temple president there of ISKCON, had the children's Bible. I remember reading a children's Bible also, with lots of nice paintings, and so I got to and it was written in story form, suitable for children. So I read that as a child. Maybe when I was 7 or 8 years old, I couldn't read the whole Bible as it in the King James Version or whatever, but the children's edition I could read. So that's one edition. Then another edition has been done by Kala Kanta Prabhu, who in my days in Krishna consciousness before I came to India was very kind to me, very wonderful devotee. So he made an edition of Bhagavad Gita in verse, and I read bits and pieces of that in Bhagavad Gita. I didn't read the whole thing in poetry form. So that you may say, well, what's the need? And you may say, well, what's the harm? Yeah, again, I'm sure he's not thinking this is going to replace Bhagavad Gita as it is, but for people who are inclined towards poetry, that's also something nice. Then you were mentioning that surrender unto me, Burijan Prabhu, which many devotees have found that very helpful in helping them to understand the flow of ideas that are in Bhagavad Gita, because he describes in his introduction to that he was, for years, he was himself personally studying Bhagavad Gita and trying to understand how each verse follows one after the other, how each chapter, the sequence of ideas. So he's particularly presented in that in that book. So that's very helpful. Yeah, Shivaram Maharaj wrote a book justifying Prabhupada's, but that's not exactly an edition of Bhagavad Gita, but it's, you could say it's an exegetical work of Bhagavad Gita as it is, on Bhagavad. That's also an excellent book for those who have the patience to read it. I mean, it's highly intellectual, the way it's presented. I thought it was wonderful. I read it and I wrote to Shivaram Maharaj. I appreciate that. I wrote to Burijan Prabhu that I appreciated that book also. There's Surrender Unto Me. Then Bhanu Swami Maharaj has translated the Bhagavad Gita with the purports of Baladev Vidyabhushan Prabhu and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Prabhupada himself said he was wanting to do that. So Prabhupada also said that all the Vaishnava, all the Vedic literature and all, especially the Vaishnava literature, that should be translated in all the languages of the world and distributed all over the world. So certainly these important books, the commentaries of Baladev and Vishwanath, they should be translated and printed. That's an express desire of Srila Prabhupada. And one more by a disciple of Srila Prabhupada is by Tripurari Swami, which I have some difference of opinion over certain things he's written in there, because he's written something about, on the social issues, Prabhupada writes that, Prabhupada presents the standard Vedic line that women are not to be given independence. He writes this in his purport, but Tripurari Maharaj, he's presenting it with the idea of making it more accessible to modern man, and he says, in the modern circumstances, and so I disagree with that. But at the same time, it's not that this edition has usurped Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, or that people in general or think that this is a replacement for Bhagavad Gita as it is. What all these devotees have done, they've all been studying Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita for many years. And out of the enthusiasm for Bhagavad Gita that they've received from reading Prabhupada's books, from reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and applying it in their life, they feel the desire to express that. It's kirtan. It's writing is another form of kirtan. It's glorifying Krishna. So Prabhupada himself said that preaching means you hear and you express it in your own words. So in that way, there could be many editions of Bhagavad Gita. I mean, I can imagine why Garuda Prabhu wants to do this, because he already wrote one book for the scholarly community. It means Indologists and this type. He wrote one book about the Rasa Leela. And there's definitely a need for such a book written by a scholar. He is a scholar. I mean, when I say scholar here, I mean a scholar accepted by the academic community. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Rasa-lila, which has been fostered by the whole Indology faculty. What's the word? The whole science or the whole study of Indology from the very beginning. Indology were this subject was deliberately begun in England with for studying the Indology. Particularly means it can mean the study of everything about India, but it particularly means the ancient culture and literature and Hinduism in India. So it was deliberately started with the aim of showing that it's all rubbish. That was why it was started. So from the beginning they've been very critical of Krishna's Rasa. How can you worship Krishna as God when he's immoral? So there was an essay written in the 1930s by Professor Nishikant Sanyal, who was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who Narayandas Bhakti Sudhaka is his initiated name. He wrote an essay called, what is it? Divine Love and the Erotic Principle. I think that was the name. The Erotic Principle was the second half. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that was published in the Harmonist magazine, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had that printed as a pamphlet, and he had it sent to universities and scholars in the West, because unalloyed love and the erotic principle, I think that's the name. He was, Professor Nishikant Sanyal, in his incisive style, he's just getting right to the, cutting right through to the heart of the matter, he demonstrated how Krishna's intimate pastimes are not immoral. They are worshipable. So that was one attempt in the 1930s to address this issue. So Garuda Prabhu wrote a book on the Rasa-lila, specifically written in scholarly language, presumably to address the misconceptions which are still very much extant among professors of Indology. So I didn't read the book, so I can't comment exactly how I perceive it, but there's definitely a need for such books. And there's probably a need for an edition of Bhagavad Gita which specifically addresses the hang-ups or the misconceptions of the scholarly community. So, and written in their style and their language. Of course, many scholars have written their appreciation of Bhagavad Gita as it is. But there may be some points which Garuda Prabhu, from his years of experience in the academic institutions, feels that particularly for the scholars, need to be presented in a more, in some points need to be illuminated more. Just like, for instance, if you were preaching in Thailand, you might want to bring out an edition of Bhagavad Gita which specifically addresses all the misconception of Buddhists, because I mean, I was in Thailand for some time, and that place is difficult. You think it's difficult preaching in Tamil Nadu? Try Thailand. It's really, really tough. The Buddhism is it's very difficult to even begin. One reason is because to begin to communicate what is Krishna consciousness, one reason is because all the words that you might use to try to explain Krishna conscious philosophy, the Thai words, they're all borrowed from Sanskrit, and they all have completely Buddhistic voidest, I'm losing the word, meanings or connotations. So where do you begin? How can you begin? As soon as you say something, as soon as you try to say something, then immediately they have the word in their mind has connected with it a whole voidist philosophy. It's very, very tough to get through to them, even to begin to get through to them. So if you were going to write, just like we have in the Bhagavad Gita, we have words like nirvana, meditation is discussed. So if you are, we have Bhagavad Gita as it is in Thai now, and definitely that will have its effect. But if you want to write for scholars of Buddhism, and to try to, you'd probably have to, it would be a good idea to write an edition and or to define each word very carefully and to go over each point in great detail. Yeah, new dictionary, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. He wanted to write a new dictionary of redefining all the words, because people understand when you say bhakti, Bhagavan, their understanding is complete. So you're speaking to them and they hear and they say, yes, 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 I agree, I accept. But they have a completely different understanding of what you're talking about. So the first thing is to define the words, what you understand by that. So, or if you are going to write an edition of Bhagavad Gita for scientists, nowadays there are some scientists, not a small number, who are interested. It's been around for many years, for more than a generation since. What's his name? Franz something, right? He wrote I can't remember this, some book which. The Tao of Physics. What's his name? Franz something or other. So he wrote a book which was quite a big book, which was trying to show that advancement or in modern physics, theories of modern physics, especially quantum theory, they fit with voidistic and Eastern philosophy, especially you're saying Tao, it fits somehow or other with that. So there's been a lot of interest in certain circles of the scientific community of trying to align modern theories of physics with ancient Eastern knowledge, as they consider it. So conceivably, there could be an edition of Bhagavad Gita written in according to parampara, but in a manner specifically for scientists. And you'd have to present it in a different way. The same message, old wine in new bottles, Prabhupada wrote about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That on the outside it looks different, but on the inside it's the same. So one who's very expert can do that. Now, like I said, I don't know whether Garuda Prabhu is expert enough, and I don't know if I'm even qualified enough to judge on that, because I'm not a scholar. But the attempt to do so is laudable. And certainly if he's sincere, then Krishna will help. So, certainly if the attempt is to outdo Prabhupada or try to present something better, then it should be rejected. But if it's within disciplic succession, presenting the message, then let there be many editions of Bhagavad Gita. Now, there is a theory floating around from some people that Prabhupada's books are law books for the next 10,000 years, and therefore no other book should be written. And anyone who writes any books, they're just offenders to Prabhupada. Although when I read Prabhupada's books, I read statements that it is the first duty of someone in the renounced order of life to present a literary contribution for the benefit of human society. Prabhupada told his disciples, so many disciples, to write books. So, should there be no more writing of books? Certainly there should be, because as Prabhupada says, there are different commentaries, there are the demoniac and the devotional, so that only the demon should go on writing books and the devotee should stop. A godbrother of mine wrote to me some few months ago an angry letter saying that, why are you writing books? And I was wondering, why is he only sending it to me? I'm not the only disciple of Prabhupada who's writing books. There are so many disciples of Prabhupada writing books that if he wants to get the message that no one should write any more books, probably the best way to get it out would be to put it in a book. Then he could send it to everyone else who's writing books and tell them not to write books. If he really wants, if he feels so strongly about this and he wants to get the message across, the best way is to write a book. Then he can be like this Jay Krishnamurti, who wrote in his book, you shouldn't read books. And he put it in a book. It's contradictory. The point is, if there is a message to be communicated, then a book is the Brihan Mridanga, the big way of getting it across. So Brihan Mridanga means it's a big kirtan. Writing books is kirtan. It's a natural propensity of the soul in the purified state to glorify Krishna. And the way that our recent acharyas have recommended the way to do that, if you're going to do kirtan, then why not do it in a big way? If you're actually performing kirtan, that's beneficial for the world, then why, as Prabhupada used to quote, that if you come to dance on the stage, then why pull the cover over? If you're going to say, well, I'm going to preach, but I'll only preach to one person because I don't want to become puffed up. If the message is good for one person, it's good for every person. So it may appear, just like the Prakriti Sahajya said, that preaching, it's just for self-glorification, for pratishta, for increasing your name and fame. It can be. Such preaching is not wanted, but if one is sincerely trying to serve the parampara, then that kind of, as their servant, one should endeavor, is considering that their message is so wonderful that we should get it across to as many people as possible. And if they're a certain class of person, your average scientist, you may have experienced this on the trains distributing books. So now is the season, the students are going back, and you'll see them studying their science. And you show them the Bhagavad Gita, and they don't even look at it. I'm reading a science book. What do I need Bhagavad Gita for? So, but if you show them Origins magazine, which actually it's all meant for the same purpose, and then they become interested. Oh yeah, that's very interesting. Then they'll take it. And after reading Origins magazine, then they're 1,000 times more inclined to read Bhagavad Gita as it is. So. Such preaching is required. Many books are required. Doesn't mean that Prabhupada's books should be forgotten. No, the Prabhupada's books, they are the basis of this movement. We're every day reading from Prabhupada's books, giving class on Prabhupada's books. We're preaching from Prabhupada's books. We're living according to Prabhupada's books. But again, that doesn't mean that all further expression of Krishna consciousness should be finished. Then we shouldn't give class either. We should just read from Prabhupada's books. But Prabhupada didn't say that. It's also required to explain what's in Prabhupada's books. And because Krishna is unlimited, that explanation can go on in unlimited ways. And that should go. So there should be more and more glorification of Krishna. So, yeah, that's my answer to this question. Is there something intrinsically wrong? I'd say that, let's take the positive side. There's something good if someone's a devotee and they're inspired by Krishna, and they have the feeling that I want to communicate this message and get that across to others, then that's something very wonderful. And that is the natural result of hearing, of shravan, or reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, that you want to communicate that to others. It's not that everyone has to start writing books. The most important thing is to distribute Prabhupada's books. But then some devotees will have the inspiration to write and publish that. So let them do it. Now, you may be surprised, because I was talking about Garuda Prabhu is a professor in the university teaching Indology, and you may be surprised because I'm talking about him because, well, not him in particular, but I've been critical in the last few years of the back to school movement within our ISKCON movement, that senior devotees, not so much nowadays, like different fads that our movement goes through, that one's not so much nowadays. They're promoting like that, but they're saying that everyone should, I mean, they didn't say this, but there was definitely there, from certain quarters, there was a lot of move that everyone should go back to college and get degrees. And Trivikram Swami told me when some sannyasi godbrothers found out that he had a university degree, they said, oh, why don't you go back and get a PhD? And there was this idea that we're all going to become PhDs, and then we'll preach from within the university, and this is going to make the big difference. So I was critical of that for various reasons. One reason is, not that I'm against it per se, but that one thing is, why should our sannyasis and spiritual leaders do that? If anyone's going to do it, let others do it. But the sannyasis and spiritual leaders are required to preach directly Krishna consciousness, whereas within the academia, you're restricted. By the very nature of academia, you can't present Krishna consciousness very directly. That's considered unscholarly according to the modern way of thinking. So, and also our leaders are, if they go to the colleges, then they're lost to a large extent to the devotees who need their association and guidance. So that was one reason. Another reason is that unless one is very strong personally, that one is likely to be affected by the whole academic way of thinking, because you can't present papers for the academic community unless it's written in a certain way, which there always has to be doubt. You can never present in an absolute way. So again, if this is coming from our gurus, it sounds very bad, because the guru has to present Krishna as the absolute truth. And actually every devotee has to do that, although there may be, for this, within a particular preaching field, there may be some room for, or some leeway for presenting according to the academic method. But the thing is that if our acharyas and gurus do that, then people will think that this is the standard, and then it becomes very dangerous. Another reason is that we ourselves, it's very dangerous association, because we ourselves might start to think that, well, Krishna is just a relative truth, or maybe Krishna doesn't, there's no proof on so many things that come out of the academic, that's the general academic way of thinking, that you study everything. Krishna is an object of study. So Vaishnavism is an object of our study. Instead of, in this way, we try to, or the attempt is to, become the master of knowledge about Krishna and Krishna consciousness, instead of becoming the servant of Krishna and the servant of the process of Krishna consciousness. So it's very dangerous, because then the full faith which is required for full commitment and full surrender, that goes. And then we see that many devotees who have taken to this academic back to school kind of thing, that not being strong enough, they become affected by that, and compromised faith means compromised commitment, means compromised behavior. And then we think, well, you don't really need to follow all these rules, and then our whole Krishna consciousness becomes watered down. So, talking today about particular devotee, Garuda Prabhu, I guess I haven't met him for many years, but he went back, I mean, he did his PhD and everything many years ago, and he's been in the academic system for many years. He didn't make a big fanfare blowing a trumpet or anything, he just went and did it. He didn't start announcing, now everybody, I'm going to save the world by doing this, but he went and did it. And if you're strong enough, then there's no harm to do that. It can be very good. I presume he's a householder, and he has to do something to maintain his family. He's a very intellectual person, so he wanted to be a professor at the university. He wanted to discuss the subject which is dearest to him, that is Krishna consciousness, so he did that. I was even suggesting that some of our devotees who are studying and they want to become householders, that maybe they could also become professors like that. That's a possibility for them. So I'm not against it per se, but I'm against the dangers of it and the misappropriation of the idea of academic preaching. So, Hare Krishna. That's what I had to say about that. Someone asked the question, it's too much to reply to in an email, so I thought I'd say in a class, and you can share it with others also. So, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions about this? Yes. You're sending your daughter to the college. What's she studying?
Microbiology.
That's food, all this.
All these microorganisms, study about microorganisms.
Yeah, but microbiology is a very broad subject. What she's specializing in?
She's more towards medical microbiology.
Is it? I see. Do you know that medicine is one of the major killers in America? Tejas Prabhu sent me. I didn't believe him. I said, this is ridiculous. He said, not just medicine, by medicine I mean the whole medical profession. Almost 1 million deaths per year. I just couldn't believe it. It's just such a big figure. Caused by doctors, by giving wrong prescription, over-prescription, hospitalizing people who don't need hospitalizing. Very big cause of death is performing surgeries on people who don't need it. It's a big business. So it's almost, I didn't believe it. He sent me the report made by doctors. Almost, it's more than 950,000. It's like what do they call that? In Auschwitz, they call that a Holocaust. It's like a Holocaust. It kills many more people than road accidents. And they said in the last 10 years, they killed far more people than have been killed in all the wars America ever had in their history. Or unnecessary hospitalization, then people pick up diseases in the hospitals. So, because the hospital's full of sick people. Right? What was this Sri Devi? She sent her mother to America there was some tumor on her head, and then she came back, they operated on the wrong side of the head, having spent, you know, so much money. Sometimes they do things like, they mix up the reports, so they do the operation for one person on someone else's. Or someone comes back and after so many days after the operation, they're still saying, I have so much pain in my stomach. They say, oh, don't worry, it'll go away, we'll give you some painkillers. And it's still, oh, it's terrible. After 2 weeks, and then they do another x-ray and they found they left the scissors inside or something like this. So, I mean, it's not all the time, but many times. One major contributing factor is unnecessary prescription of antibiotics. They give people antibiotics so much, and then they don't have any effect, and then when some real disease comes around, they don't have any resistance to it. And then they pop off due to having no resistance. Anyway. Yeah, you had a question?
You take it. He said there is another yellow book which is giving a lot of stories. So when we teach them to children, they can understand better.
Mm-hmm.
But this is bona fide. This is from Srila Prabhupada. She said, I have one book of this, but I'm looking for something which will be more towards the children.
Yeah, there's a need for children's literature.
So actually, from 5th standard onwards from the school, is there anything that is reachable for the children?
Do we have children's books? We do, actually. There's one devotee in Hyderabad produced so many books for children, Shamasunda. Many, many books he's produced.
On Gita Madhura?
Presumably, he's done just about everything else you could imagine. So I presume he did something on Gita. Also, you want to get some of those books from Shamasunda?
Yes, here's some question regarding there was a difference between Prabhupada's books and his devotees' commentaries.
What's the difference between Prabhupada's books and his devotees' commentaries? Well, if they're real bona fide commentaries, then intrinsically there's no difference. There may be in presentation, there may be. In focus there may be, but in message it has to be the same. If it's a real disciple's commentary. Old wine in new bottles. Prabhupada gave the example about his own Gurudev. Same message, but presented it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur presented his message, or the message of Krishna, in a manner suitable for that era and ethos, highly scholarly style. And Prabhupada presented the same message in a manner which was wonderfully acceptable both to intellectuals and to ordinary people. Ordinary people means not people who read the tabloids, but now they have tabloids in India. You know what tabloid is? It means like Bombay Midday or something like this. Just, it's got no real news. It's mostly sports and sex. That's all. And it's written for the comprehension of 7-year-olds and people with no more educational level than that. So they're meant for thoughtful people and people who are serious enough to apply their intelligence to understand it. But it's not so difficult that it can't be read by just people, anyone who has basic education in the English language, who can read, in other words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.